broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on the radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you right now, we got a problem in America. A big problem. Mike Pence does not believe he has power to block congressional certification. That's what Trump's hanging his hat on. What will Mike Pence do? 88 state legislators from 5 battleground states sent a letter to Mike Pence in which they asked him to postpone the opening of and the counting of the Electoral College votes for at least 10 days while they put together an audit to find out the truth. Meanwhile, Warnock makes history. Black Democrat from Georgia wins the Senate as Dems near majority. Time will tell. The other votes being counted. There's suggestions of vote fraud in Georgia once again. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to be too offensive here, but I don't have a lot of confidence in anything that's going on now. You want to know why? We've had vote fraud forever, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, this is not a new phenomenon. In fact, Donald Trump, even 4 years ago, literally said, hey, we need a vote fraud commission to look into this. He started it. They shut it down and he quietly went away. That, I believe, was a critical mistake. Nevertheless, we've had vote fraud for literally decades and no one has seemed to care. It's almost like the Republicans and the Democrats, the deep state, the swamp, whatever you want to call it, kind of partnered in the vote fraud. And it's like, hey, we'll take turns with leadership. And everybody was fine with that. When I say everybody, I don't mean me and you, and but the nation, right? And now, for some reason, it's a big issue. Look, you're not going to solve an issue like this in a couple of days. It reminds me of somebody that squats on a piece of property, and they're there for like 25 years, and then all of a sudden you go, hey, that's my property. The chances of you getting out of your property and declaring that it's your property and asserting your rights since they've been violated and abused and for so long is almost nil. Not because it's not correct, but because, you know what? If you don't fight for a right, you lose it. And it's 10 times, 1,000 times harder to get it back than it would have been to keep it in the first place. With that summary, Becky Akers with me, well-known anarchist. It's going to be interesting to get her take on this because, hey, she'd just throw out the whole thing if she were given the chance. Nevertheless, she doesn't believe in destruction or anything like that. Anarchist to her really means, hey, we don't need government. We don't need some central concentration of power. What we need is people to be educated and involved and self-governing. And we can self-govern and work together as a society via contract and free, peaceful negotiations. We don't need some government that always runs amok to take charge. We can do it ourselves. That would be Becky's general contention. She's also an author. She publishes articles all over the place, Lou Rockwell and other places. But she's also written 2 books. One's called Hailstorm about Nathan Hale, incredible book. The other one's called Abducting Arnold, The Other Side of the Benedict Arnold Story. You probably haven't heard. They are revolutionary new novels. Buy them before they're banned today. Serious business, Becky. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure and a privilege.
What do you think of this whole D.C. thing? Waste of time?
I think it's the death knell of America. I'm hoping it's not the death knell of freedom. America was, as Tom Paine wrote in Common Sense, the last refuge for liberty. She'd been given notice in Europe and Asia to depart, and now America was coming into existence to receive her. He has a very moving and eloquent passage in Common Sense about how the United States is the last best hope for freedom on the planet. And I am really sorrowful to see this end. I have prayed and prayed and prayed the Lord would avert Marxism from this country. And I see Marxism triumphing today. Depending on the outcome of the rally and of the vote in D.C. today. We could be dealing with another chance to fight for freedom and to possibly succeed, or we could be dealing with the most totalitarian regime history has ever known. It may be a global regime, so there will be no escape from it. When the Allies and Axis were fighting in World War II, there were still bastions of freedom. You could go to an uninvolved country, or you could possibly find refuge in the United States. Even then, the U.S. was turning into a Marxist dictatorship. The seeds that we are now dealing with, most of them were planted, the plants we are now dealing with, most of the seeds were sown during World War II and even earlier, World War I. So my take on it, Sam, is that we had better be prepared for a shooting revolution, or we will not reclaim our liberty. Even if Trump prevails today, we should realize we're on borrowed time. We cannot continue to tolerate Marxism in this country. And by Marxism, virtually every aspect of American culture has become Marxist, okay? We constantly expect and demand a high confiscatory rate of taxation. There are very few people who are willing to do without their goodies in exchange for no or low taxation. This idea that everybody pays for the public schools, that's totally Marxist. This idea that everybody is entitled to Social Security, totally Marxist. The idea that property taxes are due from all landholders, totally Marxist. We don't owe the government anything for our land. It belongs to us.
The idea that government can dictate and or fund our health care, totally Marxist.
Totally Marxist, right out of the Communist Manifesto. This is what I'm getting at. Virtually every aspect of American political culture, and then go into the popular culture, with people demanding their rights and demanding privileges. And, you know, one of my favorite things on that is that driving or flying, whatever, plug in your favorite activity, is a privilege. Privilege in the dictionary means that you have to ask someone for permission. It's not something you automatically have. Okay, well, look how deeply embedded in popular culture that idea is, that driving is a privilege. We have to ask the government if we can go out and drive cars we bought on roads we pay for. Okay, this is totalitarianism. This is Marxism. And let me say too, Sam, while I'm on my rip against Marxism, a lot of people misunderstand it. They think it's politics, you see. That's how Christian pastors and Christian clergy have gotten away with never warning their flock against Marxism. It's politics, and this is a church devoted to the Lord. We don't discuss politics here. No. Marxism is a false religion, and it is a religion, and it has its fanatics, just as any false religion does, okay? Those fanatics have taken power in the United States. We all saw those fanatics in action this summer as they worshiped their god, Satan, and as they read their books from his prophet, Karl Marx, and as they put into play and into practice the ideas of this false religion and its false values. Marxism was deliberately designed to be a parody of Christianity. Okay, there are a number of books on this. I don't make this up. I know what I'm talking about because I've read these books. There's a very persuasive one called Satan and Marx, or Marx and Satan, I always forget which it is, by Richard Wurmbrand. And he knew what he was talking about because he experienced communism firsthand. He was imprisoned in solitary confinement by the communists for 14 years. He dealt with them firsthand. He also studied Marx, and he unearthed poetry that Marx had written to Satan. Okay, Marx was a Satanist, and he idolized and worshipped Satan. And from that sprang his whole idea of a parody for Christianity.
By the way, the book's called Marx and Satan, is what it's called.
Okay, Marx and Satan, Richard Wurmbrand. I would urge everyone to get that and read that. There have been a number of other studies as well that explore this connection between Marxism and Satanism. All right? It is a religion. It's not a philosophy. It's not a political system. It is a religion. And we are about to witness and experience the fury of its fanatics as they try to force the rest of us to worship their God. They have a trinity, just as Christianity does. Their trinity is the state, Marx, and Satan. Okay? This is why there is such a push by Marxists to have a totally powerful state. They worship the state. It is part of their trinity, just as much as they worship Marx.
Because they believe they can supplant God with the state. Now, Richard Wurmbrand is the author of this book that Becky's talking about. Let me spell the last name. Wurmbrand. Wurmbrand. That way you can find it. But it's called Marx and Satan. And it documents the double-down beliefs of Marx. All right? And so this is not a joke. This is serious business, ladies and gentlemen. What's at stake is your liberty. What we do is use education to defend your liberty. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about this revolution that many are speaking of. What do we do about it? How do we? Becky Akers with me, ladies and gentlemen. Hang tight.
Mom, you don't know anything about me anymore.
Honey, I know you're good at math. You don't like English. I know Ryan smiled at you yesterday at school. I know your favorite color is purple. And I know you don't like mushrooms. And who can blame you? I mean, mushrooms are a fungus, and people generally try to avoid funguses. Or is it fungi? I'm never quite sure. But, you know, either way, I mean, penicillin is good.
Penicillin is a mold.
Huh. Well, I guess you're right. So you like penicillin, but not mushrooms.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear.
Mom, if we talk, will you be quiet?
Love to.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
All right, thanks for your patience, ladies and gentlemen. I'm trying to get different people. They're all in the event in D.C., but, man, phones aren't working. The crowd's so loud you can't hear. I mean, it's crazy down there. Reporting is very difficult. Meanwhile, though, I've got Becky Akers with me, so it's all right. And we're talking about an incredible book Becky brought up. Book is called Marx, meaning Karl Marx, Marx and Satan by Richard Wurmbrand. Wurmbrand. Now, the synopsis of the book is this. Listen carefully. The late Reverend Richard Wurmbrand spent 14 years of his life as a prisoner of the communist government in Romania, where he was persecuted for his faith in Jesus Christ. His experience led him to spend further years researching Karl Marx and the communist doctrines that Marx developed. It is a riveting book and worth your read. Becky, continue there.
Well, I'll just add my recommendation to yours, Sam. I would strongly urge everyone to get a hold of this and read it. Richard Wurmbrand also founded Voice of the Martyrs, which to this day ministers to the persecuted church. I am waiting for them to have to come to Americans' aid as well. We're seeing persecution of the church in Idaho, in California, where churches that are gathering for worship, as our Lord commands us to do, are being persecuted by the state. People are being arrested. Pastors are being threatened with arrest. Pastors are being fined. Congregations are being fined. This is spreading in Canada as well. There is a church, Trinity Bible Chapel, in Ontario that was ordered to shut down when it refused. It has a board of six elders. Each one of them, the cops showed up at their houses at night, issued them with a fine of $10,000. These people are standing forth and saying, you have no right to do that. We belong to Jesus Christ. Government is subservient to him. You may not contravene his orders to us. We obey him and not you. I'd ask everybody to be praying for Trinity Bible Chapel in Ontario, Canada. But I'd also urge you to pray for our brothers in Idaho and California that are under severe persecution from their governments. I ask God every day to bring these wicked Marxists down, to bless his people, to help us. Very interesting, Richard Wurmbrand was born Jewish, became a Christian on the strength of the evidence of Christ's divinity.
Now, hold on. I want you to repeat that phrase, because that really tells you the integrity of this man and the desire to seek for truth that he really had in his heart and in his mind his whole life. Say that again.
He was born Jewish, but on the strength of the evidence for Christ's divinity, he trusted him as his Lord and Savior. He stood firm when the rest of the Romanian churches were caving to communist demands, that they install pictures of Stalin, that they take down their crosses, that they start preaching the Marxism. They didn't call it that, of course, but start preaching the supremacy of the state. He refused, stood firm. Where are the Richard Wurmbrands in America who will stand firm against Marxist governments that are demanding we shut our churches on the strength of a made-up virus? Where are they? Instead, we've got a bunch of cowards bowing down to the god of government, bowing down to Marxism, and betraying their Lord and Savior, betraying their flock, leading their flocks astray. And this will go back again to what I said before, where preachers have gotten away with claiming they don't want to preach against Marxism because that's politics. It isn't. It is a false religion. And if we had had godly men in the pulpit with a spine instead of the weaklings and cowards that shut their doors, if they had been preaching the last 50 or 60 years against Marxism, we would not today be facing persecution as Christians. And I'm telling you, it is coming. If you think you're safe in your house, if you think you're safe in your church with your mask and your social distancing, you are sadly wrong, okay? They are coming for us. That is how Marxists operate. They will not tolerate, unlike Christians who will allow idolaters to freely circulate among them, Marxists tolerate no co-religion, okay? Out. You can look at any country you want to. One of the first things Marxists do when they take it over is they purge religion. Their other favorite tactic is to infiltrate the churches and render them completely gutless, completely contentless. That's what they're doing in China currently. That's what they've done to the American church, okay? That is why pastors rolled over and played dead as soon as their very best friends forever, the governor, said, close your church. You know, a pandemic with a fatality rate of 0.00000001.3% might kill you if you have services. And they said, okay, thank you for the warning. And bingo, they close, directly violating scriptural commands that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, directly violating scriptural commands such as, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, directly violating scriptural commands such as, fear not, for I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And instead, these cowards and gutless wonders in the pulpit have capitulated completely to atheist governors, to a Marxist government. I mean, Pam, this is just unprecedented in our history.
And what's fascinating is there's virtually no flu cases anymore.
Yes.
Right. No one's getting the flu. They're all just getting the cocoa, you know?
Yes. They will continue to use this pandemic, this shamdemic, with no basis in reality. They will continue to use this because look how far it has gotten them. They are just making hay. Marxists and totalitarians all over the world are just, this is the gift that keeps on giving for them, okay? They have scared everyone silly because people are so stupid. They actually take at face value what a politician or a bureaucrat tells them. These people are known liars. When was the last time a politician told us the truth? And yet let them say, you're going to die from COVID. And people believe it. People don't even go out and research. They accept it at face value. And then they run around scared and panicky and sacrifice their freedom to a virus that kills an infinitesimal number of people. And in fact, there's a lot of evidence, Sam, that the virus doesn't even exist. People are
Here's the problem. When we say it doesn't even exist, we know people get sick. We don't know exactly how or what from or anything else. The problem is they cannot isolate. And the CDC has even admitted this. They cannot isolate the virus, which means they can't prove it exists. The vaccines of yesteryear had, live in the beginning and then inert or dead versions of the actual virus for something. Nowadays, they don't have that. All they have is, we think we can put together these general markers and this general pattern, and then we think we can trick your body into this and that based on it. What's going to happen, though, is they're going to create a, in my opinion, a Frankenstein diseases, because eventually they'll trick the body into attacking all kinds of things they never intended to. This is disaster on steroids. They won't admit it, but they can't isolate the virus. They don't have a copy of it anywhere. All they can do is have circumstantial evidence based on observations. And so they're creating a Frankenstein when they inject this vaccine into your body, ladies and gentlemen. It is disaster. We should be developing herd immunity. We should have government backing off and standing down. But what we have is tyrannical thugs using every opportunity to ratchet up a complete, I would call it a global jubilee of everything we hold dear and everything we know. They will remake America and remake the world after their tyrannical communist style agendas. And we, the people, are ignorantly standing idly by, allowing it to happen, eagerly complying in most cases. And anybody who dares to defy becomes the enemy of the eager compliers. And so we're even against our own people. People who believe in freedom but are deceived on this thing are literally helping carry the tyrannical ball as they literally threaten to score again and again and again and again. Points against the sacred cause of liberty. And they're using the doctrine of Karl Marx, the rejection of Christianity, if you will. This book, Marx and Satan, written by Richard Wurmbrand, really documents the details. This is serious, serious business. When we come back, we'll talk to Becky more. We'll see if we can get some updates from D.C. It's just hard to get a hold of people, man. It's crazy. Phones aren't working. It's just... Everything is overwhelmed in the District of Criminals right now. I'll tell you that. Hang tight, Sam and Becky in seconds.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Raphael Warnock is projected to have defeated Senator Kelly Loeffler in their Senate runoff race in Georgia, bringing the Democrats within reach of the majority in the upper chamber. NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox News, and the Associated Press called the race for Warnock shortly before 2 a.m. Eastern. Loeffler has not conceded. The Democrat John Ossoff, Republican David Perdue race is separated by only a few thousand votes in favor of Ossoff, with 99% of the precincts reporting. In the 2020 presidential election, Congress meets today for a final tally of the state's electoral votes. Expect the gavel to open the session at 1 p.m. Eastern. Dozens of former lawmakers and opposition activists were arrested Wednesday morning in Hong Kong on suspicion of violating the city's sweeping national security legislation in the biggest crackdown yet since the law was imposed by Beijing last year. This is USA Radio News.
We've all heard it. Eat healthy. But what does eating healthy mean? Sure, there are countless diets out there, but they contradict each other. Yet all experts agree we should eat a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. Whole fruits and vegetables are the perfect fuel to power the cells in your body, giving you the stamina you need to handle your day-to-day activities. And that's what Balance of Nature is. Whole fruits and vegetables delivered to you in a convenient capsule form for only 22 cents a serving. Our proprietary blend has no additives or fillers, just the full nutritional value of a variety of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Balance of Nature provides you with a natural energy boost without a caffeine crash, a 3 o'clock slump, or an early bedtime. Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself by going to balanceofnature.com or by calling 1-800-246-8751 and use discount code USA.
It's been 30 years since a wide receiver has won the Heisman Trophy. USA Radio News' Dan Naraki fills us in.
College football's top award has gone to a wide receiver for the first time in nearly 30 years. Alabama wideout Devonta Smith beat out teammate and quarterback Mac Jones, Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, and Florida quarterback Kyle Trask. Smith is the first receiver to win the award as college football's top player since Michigan's Desmond Howard won the trophy in 1991. Smith led the nation in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. He also only dropped two passes all season. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Other contenders were quarterback Mark Jones of Alabama, quarterback Trevor Lawrence of Clemson, and quarterback Kyle Trask of Florida. When video games go bad, CD Projekt Red's role-playing game Cyberpunk 2077 has lost 79% of its player base since it launched just a month ago. This is according to new analysis from video game statistics website Get Hype, which shows that the game's player base declined. This is USA Radio News.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen, with rare exception, the phone lines, cell coverage in D.C. melting down. Oh, my goodness gracious. Can't get a hold of anybody. People answer their phones, and you just can't hear anybody. There's nothing there, which means that the systems are totally overwhelmed in D.C. I tried to call Larvita McFarkler, and Larvita is a person we just met, but she's the owner of what's called Haven's Garden Restaurant. It's in Minnesota, and she literally is being shut down by the government. They took her food license away. They're threatening to put her in jail. She is suing the governor, suing her state and her county and everything over this, saying, you know what, I will not shut down. She's standing tall and bold. She's got four daughters. She's a black lady. She backs Trump, and she's standing tall, saying, you're not going to shut me down. She's on the ground, and she tried to report live first hour from the D.C. rally. Ladies and gentlemen, it was so loud we could barely hear her. And then between the speeches, we got a little bit of an update from her. And then we had our guest on, Joe Delamater. Joe's from Maryland, a citizen reporter, if you will. And he reported live from the D.C. rally, walking into the event, and he had good connectivity. We could hear him good, and he gave us great updates and coverage. Now that he's inside, though, his cell phone's not working. It's just the systems are overwhelmed with too many people, too many phones, too much Twitter, too much Facebook, I don't know, Instagram, whatever, all the stuff to where the phones aren't working well in D.C. But Joe is a citizen reporter, He's a HVAC guy by trade. He says, please read your Bible to restore America. What do you think of that response, Becky?
Yeah, I would second it heartily.
Okay, thanks for your patience. We did manage to get Joe. He did get a call out. Hi, Joe.
No.
Uh-oh, we can't barely hear you. Can you go ahead, sir. Give us an update. Shoot, when he called, I could hear him perfect. Try and hold your phone a little higher there, Joe.
Is that better?
Yes, sir. Go.
Yep, we were between the White House and the Washington Monument, and we weren't getting any kind of cell phone out. So we've walked over towards the mall now, and it seems like we got a little bit better signal.
I would say
the crowd is about half filled between the Washington Monument and the White House. They got a pretty good sized stage. They got speakers. They're playing music now. And Eric Trump just talked a little bit ago. So.
Okay, and is it still peaceful?
Oh, yeah, very peaceful, yep. I actually, where we are, I don't know if people are familiar, you know, there's a lot of green space, you know, park space between the White House and the Washington Monument, and I don't see any cops in the area. Now, on the buildings, we do see a lot of snipers on the buildings, but that's normal standard procedure in D.C. now. So.
I know what you're saying. It's normalcy of modern times, but that's not normal when your government puts snipers on roofs, ladies and gentlemen. That's not normal at all, Joe. In fact, that just demonstrates that the criminals are afraid of the people.
Yes, it does. Yes. Yes, sir. No, I agree with you. Yep. There's but yeah, we were just standing here.
Say it again. Hold your phone high, buddy. All right, we're going to let Joe go. It's just the connectivity is just not good enough. Thank you so much, Joe, if you can hear me. We appreciate you. We'll talk soon and get some more updates tomorrow or whatever. Joe doing a great job. He's pointing out a very serious concern, in my opinion, Becky. It's now considered normal to have government snipers on buildings. Are you kidding me right now?
I bet they weren't there during the peaceful protest this summer.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so we've got a serious problem, in America. Now, you mentioned the upcoming revolution, and you say it's going to require a shooting revolution. And I want to be very clear about this, okay? We're not advocating for that at all, ladies and gentlemen. We realize how evil and despicable war can be. And we're not advocating for that kind of carnage, okay? However, we are telling you that thugs that believe in Marxism and Satanism will go to the level of flat-out destruction if they don't get their way. And we, as God-fearing Americans, must defend our wives, our children, our families from such tyranny. Does that fairly position the discussion?
Yes. I love Solzhenitsyn's quote from the Gulag Archipelago, where he talks about being in the camp. And he said, we were so consumed, and I'm paraphrasing grossly, you need to look up the quote, but he said words to the effect of, you know, once we were in the camps, we looked back with such regret. Why didn't we stand up? Why did we cower in our apartments, fearful and trembling when we heard the downstairs door slam in the middle of the night? Why didn't we arm ourselves with meat cleavers and axes and whatever else we had? They'd already stripped us of our weapons, but we could have found implements. Why didn't we stand down in the hallways and attack them when they came for a neighbor instead of just hiding and trembling and hoping it wouldn't be us this time? If only we had stood up to them when we had the chance, okay? I appeal to Americans. Our chances are diminishing grossly. We, too, are going to be in camps. There is a bill pending in the New York State Legislature that will cede totalitarian power to Andrew Cuomo, the governor who has pretty much ruined New York with his lockdowns. It will allow him to detain and forcibly imprison and even vaccinate. And, of course, the bill doesn't specify vaccinate with what. Anyone he thinks is contagious. Now, this is stuff straight out of the Soviet Union, okay? This is what the Soviet Union did to dissidents. They rounded them up, they accused them of insanity, and then they drugged them up so that they couldn't do anything else to undermine the regime, okay? It is coming here, people. It is coming here. No matter how much you tried to hide from it, it's coming. Marxism is taking over our country. I appeal to you to remember Solzhenitsyn's quote. I appeal to you to think about what is going on with FEMA camps now in New York State that are set up ready to receive dissidents who object to Cuomo's killing their grandparents in nursing homes, okay? There are some troublemakers in New York State that aren't going to take that lying down, and the legislature is taking care of these folks now. It's passing a bill specifically aimed at anyone who contests Cuomo and the New York State government, okay? This is right out of the Soviet Union. Now, there is a countervailing bill, Republican legislator in New York State, has introduced a competing bill. I don't give it very high marks as far as success. I could be wrong. I hope I am. I'm not a prophet. But the tenor of New York State is incredibly dictatorial, incredibly totalitarian. New York City accounts for about half the population in New York State. New York City has never met a politician or bureaucrat. Let me rephrase that. Never met a Marxist or bureaucrat that it doesn't absolutely adore, okay? It goes along with these people. This is coming. We need to get out in the street. We need to forcibly take back our freedom, okay? Because Marxists don't understand anything other than force. They are bullies. They operate on intimidation. They operate on fear. They try to fearmonger as much as they can. That's the point of torturing people, okay? Induce fear. You can keep everybody in his place if you make people afraid that if they stand up and protest, you'll kidnap them off the street and subject them to unbelievable tortures. That's the point, okay? We need to stand up before it's too late.
And the real question, ladies and gentlemen, is this. We all prize peace, okay? And that's well and good, and I support that generally speaking, okay? We want peace. We prize peace. But in my opinion, here's the real question that you got to ask yourself. Do you prize peace so much that you will bury your head in the sand and not stand for liberty when you can to where you lose peace entirely? Yes, there might be a little skirmish here or there. There might be a battle here or there if we fight early and hard and demand accountability and integrity and transparency. But if we don't, eventually, we will bury our head in the sand and we will have tyranny and the loss of peace like you wouldn't believe. And that's really what we're discussing here. Do you prize peace so much that you ultimately lose it? I think that's the ultimate question, Becky.
Absolutely. And, you know, the founders faced this same problem. You remember Patrick Henry standing up in the basement and saying, gentlemen cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Okay? And then a little bit later in that same speech, give me liberty or give me death. That's got to be our motto.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live. I'm Sam Bushman. I got Becky Akers with me. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, folks. Can you handle it?
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
All right, the peaceful so-called protest in D.C. continues. Will they prevail? We pray so, but predict no. I know some could say, Sam, you're just being negative. You know, you gotta, you know, stand for freedom. But when Mike Pence blatantly says publicly he does not believe he has the power to block the congressional certification, when 88-plus state legislators from five battleground states literally send a letter to Pence saying, hey, you've got to put a halt on this and we've got to have a true investigation. When the courts all up and down the land literally throw the cases out, over 40 cases, they don't do it on the merits of the case. They do it on, you don't have standing. Or they do it on some technicality. You know there's something rotten in Denmark. I'll tell you that right now. Okay? When you have Ted Cruz literally telling Sean Hannity last night saying, hey, it's an uphill battle. Our chances are really slim, but we need to do it anyway. When you have over 140 lawmakers in the House and 13 senators and jettisoning, saying they will vote against certifying the final vote because we believe it deserves an audit, they're going to debate and steamroll this thing, folks. And then what's going to happen to the peaceful, quote, assemblage in the Capitol right now, that's literally wall-to-wall people? Becky Akers with me breaking it down, ladies and gentlemen. And we talked about this book, Marx and Satan, by Richard Wurmbrand, who literally lived under communist imprisonment for years. And then documented the satanic reality of Marx's viewpoints, of Marx's belief system, of his understanding. And then to know that that's live and well in the Republic today. If you don't believe me, grab your supreme law of the land, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. Set that dude side by side to the Communist Manifesto, and you tell me what we're embracing in America today. We are hurtling towards tyranny. Some will say, Sam, you're overstating the issue. And my question to you would be this. Do you prize peace so much that you bury your head in the sand and completely lose it? That's my question for all of you, ladies and gentlemen. Well, interestingly enough, Trump supporters on a flight to Washington, D.C. now harass and heckle Mitt Romney with traitor chant on the flight. Okay? This is going on, folks. And I'm not necessarily recommending that we abuse people, but at some point, how and where do you stand up and when? That's a battle for everyone to figure out. Everybody's line may be different on this, Becky, but I'm telling you, if we prize peace so much that we ignore it, bury your head in the sand, we will be the I told you so nation. We will be the nation that says I didn't pay attention to history, so it sadly repeated itself.
Absolutely, Sam, and I have no problem whatsoever harassing these politicians. I would strongly suggest that we not only harass them, but absolutely ostracize them, ostracize the bureaucrats, ostracize people that work for the state, work in quotes there, people who leech off our taxes. Don't give them the time of day. If you're related to them, tell them, I don't want you in my house anymore. You are working for sheer evil. You are milking me for every penny I have, and you are propagating evil.
I think it's important to be kind to people. I think we ought to use the remedies at our disposal. Number one, we need to make them pay at the ballot box next time. We need to demand accountability in paper ballot voting. We need to, under the penalty of perjury, do we certify votes going forward? How likely would these people in Congress and all these different state bodies be to rush to certify if they were under the penalty of perjury. If they were, okay, so we need to ratchet up the reality of this thing, but I do think that we ought to recall these people. I do think that we ought to impeach these people. I do think that we ought to sue these people and use every peaceful remedy we can to create accountability. I think we need to push our sheriffs to arrest these people when there's criminal activity. Look, the Joe Biden, the Hunter Biden criminal activity is so well documented, it's not even funny. The Hillary Clinton and so on and team documentation of their criminal activity is beyond debate, but we're not arresting anybody. And I'm telling you, until we start arresting people, we're not draining the swamp, Becky. It's a farce.
Well, Sam, I have to say that this has all been out there long enough that if anyone had any intention of doing something about it, it would have been done by now. These people all operate on an agreement, okay? I don't prosecute your side and you don't prosecute mine, all right? There are filthy, dirty Republicans, just as dirty as Hillary Clinton. And there are nothing but filthy, dirty Democrats, okay? They all have an understanding that this is how politics goes. The voting machines, okay? Dominion voting machines have been in our country and have been known to be crooked for how long now? And yet the Republicans who lost to them and the Democrats who lost to them, nobody protested. Nobody said anything until this year when Trump had the guts to make an issue out of it. Okay, and let me clarify, I am not a big fan of Trump, all right? I also think that the one of the big problems with the presidency that is independent of who's in the office is that it has become so very powerful, all right? The presidency should not have this kind of hold over American life. We should not be fearful when someone from the opposite party gets in that he's going to ruin our lives. He shouldn't have that kind of power, okay? The answer doesn't lie in politics. I'm actually advocating this morning self-defense. I have no faith in politicians, no faith in the political process. Politics is manipulation and lying and thievery, okay? It is nothing any Christian or even semi-decent person should want anything to do with. We should work to eliminate it from our lives, all right? But when Marxists steal an election, and again, I don't put any faith in elections, but what they have done is so criminal. It offends me, and I am the last person on earth to have any faith in elections or politicians whatsoever, and yet even I am grossly outraged at what they have done, at what they have gotten away with. They are lying. They are stealing in broad daylight. We need to stand up against these people. We need to defend ourselves from thugs like this. But my answer, Sam, is to get out there, and if we don't soon, grab our guns and go into the streets and start telling these people forcefully, we will not allow you to tyrannize us anymore. We will not allow you to lock us down. We will not allow you to close our businesses. We will not allow you to dictate our costume and tell us we have to wear masks. We will not allow you to tell us we must shun our family and friends. If we don't start soon doing this, Sam, the gates of the camps are going to close behind us. And like Solzhenitsyn, we will sit there and mourn at what we didn't do.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business. And I don't mean to overstate it. Right now, Raw Story is reporting this. Kamala Harris is about to become the most powerful vice president in nearly a century. Okay, this is a flat-out communist, okay? Others are saying Republicans are sealing themselves inside a tomb that Trump created for them. The next headline says Trump supporters raise prospect of civil war if president's, quote, coup attempt fails. Now they're literally openly saying the president's involved in a coup attempt, and they're basically saying Trump supporters are going to get rowdy and violent. They're setting the stage. This is the ultimate positioning in projection where the Democrats are literally saying we're doing what they're doing. So all you got to do is I just got to blame it on Becky. And it's not me, and use this classic projection dishonest psychological trick to deceive people into what's going on. This is what's happening right now, Becky. They're setting the stage right now for violence to erupt soon, no matter who wins. And you would say, well, Sam, wait a minute. The Democrats, if they win, they won't riot. They won't pillage. They won't plunder. And my response is, what happens when these people win a football game or a basketball game in sports? They still riot when they win.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And Becky. They are out to kill. Okay. What is Satan's primary value? Death, destruction, fighting, arguing, quarreling. That's what Satan loves. Who do these people worship? Satan. They may deny it. They may not even be aware of it. But that is their ultimate God. That is the head of their trinity, okay? They are doing his bidding. We are involved in spiritual warfare as well as political warfare. If we don't soon start standing up for ourselves and standing up for freedom, it's going to be too late.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is about a culture war. I know a lot of people believe this is about an election, but it's not. Honesty is the issue. Okay, accountability, integrity. These are the discussion points. It comes down to, hey, government and bureaucrats, the swamp, whatever you want to call it, the deep state, the shadow government, whatever word, that's nothing but a mirroring of our dishonest society. We have become a dishonest people. We have become an immoral people. And I'm telling you, this government or the proper role of government will not serve well under that scenario. We're going to get the immorality and the turning of away from God repercussions that we deserve. And the only way to prevent it is to turn back to God Almighty, to read our Bibles, to set the standard of liberty. That's based on our leader, Jesus Christ, not based on bureaucrats, not based on Marx, not based on stimulus checks, not based on whether we win or lose the next election. Those are minor skirmishes. The real war is Christ versus Satan. Could I be more clear, Becky?
No, and I totally agree, Sam. I have fought from the beginning of the shamdemic with the monolithic response across the world. This is not how history or trends behave. Never before in history has anything like this happened, that countries with wildly divergent backgrounds and traditions and history and population and races all react identically. All of them say we're locking down. All of them say everybody has to wear a mask. All of them say everybody has to social distance. There isn't any variation. That is a tip-off that there is demonic activity throughout the world. Demons and Satan himself are directing all this. There just is no other explanation. I'm a real student of history. I try to read everything about history that I can, and I will tell you, nothing like this has ever happened before. This is not the way that trends behave either, okay? You have a trend. It takes a while to catch on. Masks are very accepted in the Orient. They've never been accepted in American culture, and yet suddenly everybody is wearing a mask. It wasn't a slowly developing trend. And I don't care about the mandates that come forth. Okay, if enough Americans had said, I won't do this, the mandates would have died a morning. Okay, so the fact that Americans almost unilaterally, without exception, and all of a sudden accepted this nonsense, that tells me there's demonic activity, okay, because it isn't humanly possible. This is not the way.
Every fault line being exploited. The Republicans are in a meltdown. Deep state Republicans turn on President Trump. It isn't even about the rule of law or getting to the bottom of vote fraud anymore. It's about saying we are going to take off the gloves and create tyrannical power, and you better not oppose us. That's what they're openly saying in Washington, D.C. right now. Our prayers are for the people. We must pray for our leaders that they come to their senses while they still have time. We must pray that we can turn to God and repent. If we do, he'll heal our land and protect us. And if we don't, all bets are off. You can say I'm too dramatic, too blatant, too black and white, but I'm telling you, with Christ we succeed. Without Christ, we absolutely miserably fail. I testify Christ lives, and he is the author of our liberty. Becky, 10 seconds. You get the final word.
Thank you, Sam. I will second that heartily. We need to have a revival in this country. If we had pastors worth their salt, we've already...
We're flat out of time. God save the Republic, ladies.